So this has been, it's been great to be here today. I am really full. Went out for a massive meal. Where did we go?
Greyhound.
The Greyhound, that's amazing. You should go there if you've not been. Had a massive burger and then a giant curry.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to... Yes, yes. Yeah, you did not. Yeah, you're in the splash zone here. If I get a bit too excited or the spirit moves me, so, Math, that's on you. As Math asked me to share just here, and as a bloke, I know how short our attention spans are, and I know also what happens when it's low lighting and we've just had a big curry. The blood is moving from our brains to our stomachs to help digest that food and encouraging us to go to sleep. So I'm gonna do my best to I'm gonna move quickly, basically is what I'm saying. I'm gonna say what I feel God has given me to share to this outstanding room, and then get out of the way. And that'll be us done. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I forget your name, sir, with the hat. What's your name? Owen. Owen, last year I got to speak at SYC and Owen won the dodgeball tournament. And it quite frankly, Owen, it was the highlight of my year to see you face down against the giant. And you just destroyed him with this awesome throw and the whole camp erupts. And like I think you were raised on their shoulders as well, weren't you, Owen? And beside all the stuff that God did at the camp, that was great. But that, sir, was a highlight for me. Paraded through the streets of Louth when you got home. Yeah, throwing dodgeballs to the crowd. Brilliant. So I'm gonna talk from the story of Genesis, Adam and Eve. And basically the title of my message is this. It's hide and seek. And the idea is stop hiding from God because he is seeking after you. I'm going to say that a few times. Stop hiding from God because he is seeking after you. My son Caleb is 1 year old and he's just about learning how to play hide and seek and it's the best thing ever. But stop hiding from God because he's seeking after you. And I'm going to read a really short bit of scripture. The criteria that Math gave me for this was bring a blokey message. I mean, that could mean anything really, couldn't it? So we'll see where this goes. And it says this, so then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to them, "Man, where are you?" They had just taken the apple, they had just disobeyed God, and because of what they had done, they decided to hide from him. That's the text. That's as simple a thing as what we're going to read. We're going to use that. So I feel share what God wants to share with us today. Let's just pray and then we'll continue. But Father God, we thank you that we can just gather here as your church, as the men of this church. And I pray, Lord God, as we just spend time in your word, listening from you, that once again, you would speak to us, you would challenge us, you would empower and inspire us, Lord God, so that we would leave this place changed, we pray. Holy Spirit, have your way. Jesus, be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stop hiding from God because he's seeking after you. Because of what Adam and Eve had done, they hid from God. Now, I want to share, just to help me frame this idea, I want to let you in on a dynamic of a friendship group that I was in growing up. From year seven, I met two of my best friends, and they're still two of my best friends. We were inseparable. We were the three musketeers. We did everything together. Their names are Alistair and Richard, and they're still two of my best friends, and they're like brothers to me. I don't know why I'm making more space for myself. I'm slowly going to move every item on this stage, and I don't know why. Maybe for my prophetic dance, which is going to come in any moment as the Spirit moves me. Alistair and Richard and two of my best friends still. The dynamic of our friendship group growing up, Alistair got to a point where he would hide from Richard's dad. Not in a hide and seek kind of way, but in a way that he would just avoid him at all costs. If he found out that Richard's dad was in the house, he'd make sure he was in another room, or he just wouldn't go to that house entirely. He would avoid all conversation with him. And really, there's three reasons why that was the case. It got to a point where Alistair would proactively hide from Richard's dad. I'm going to be honest with you about the story. This isn't maybe I wouldn't share this with everyone, but this is what happened. Strike one. We were driving it was our first day out, really, and Richard's dad decided to take Richard, Alistair, and myself to Alton Towers, to one of the greatest places in the UK. It looks really strange, you holding that non-alcoholic beer. I don't want any, it's fine. It's just, yeah, it's Billy the drummer drinking beer. I'll talk over here. We're driving to Orton Towers, and we're having a great time, and we're talking, and just like, we were year seven at the time. You're year seven, aren't you? We were year seven at the time, and I don't know if you do this, but we were just like ripping into each other, like making fun of each other. It was all good, like lighthearted stuff, you know. Our level of banter wasn't all that sophisticated or educated. We were just making fun of each other's names, basically. And at the time, Alistair was the recipient of the mockery, of the banter, because he had the strangest sounding name. Is anyone called Alistair in here? Good, because we were saying, Alistair, you have a silly name, Alistair. Like, I wears women's underwear. Is the things that we were saying. It wasn't clever, but we were just laying into him, and he was eventually getting more and more frustrated, and eventually he said, well, at least I don't have a stupid name like Gavin or Nigel. Now, unbeknownst to Alistair at the time, Richard's dad's name is Nigel. And for some reason, that was the name that he decided to insult. And Nigel, bless him, didn't say anything, just sort of passive-aggressively drove a little bit faster down the motorway. And that was strike one, because we were like, that's his dad's name. And he's like, I'm so sorry. Strike two, and this is my favourite. We were having a sleepover. This is a few years later. Like, Richard's dad is, and still, very well off. A very big house, and his garage is a double-door garage, 2 stories high, and just the garage. And on the top level of the garage, there was like a pool table, table tennis, and flat screen TVs. So we would go there and like have sleepovers on this top floor, and it was amazing. And again, because I feel like it was a blokey message. This is what you asked for, Matt. I'm going to let you in on what blokes do. And we were just hanging out, and it was late. It was winter. It was cold, and there was no toilet in this facility. So Alistair really needs a toilet. This is like 3 o'clock in the morning. And there's 2 types of people in the world. And I just want to know what kind of room of men this is. And let's be honest, okay? Let's not try and be too polite in this moment, because Alistair noticed that there was a washing up basin in this top room. So there's 2 types of people in the world. Type one, you're going to leave the house and find the closest toilet. So you're going to go to the walk across out into the cold. Like, hands up if you're that type of person. Doesn't matter where you are. You're going to find some good facilities. Okay. All right. Okay. The second option is the wash and up basin. It's there. You don't have to go outside. Just hands up if you're going to utilize the basin. Okay. Some people didn't put their hands up at all. So I don't know what's happening there. But Alistair's is type two. Like, and so he decided just to he went... And I don't mean to be crude. I'm just telling you the story of Alistair's journey with Richard's dad. He went in the washing up basin, just went for a toilet, went to sleep and forgot about it. We were woken up to the sound of Richard's dad tidying up this room. And before we could even say anything about Alistair's deposit in that basin, Richard's dad had picked it up. And we looked over to notice that he was thumb deep in the content and was like, is this your toilet, Alistair? That was strike two. And you can tell that it's getting more and more awkward between Alistair and Richard's dad. Strike three, Richard's dad had a brand new BMW and white leather interior. He had forgotten about the 2 kind of offences that had gone by and invited Alistair and myself, Richard, to go for a drive in the BMW. And it's got that lovely new car smell, you know, that it's fresh leather. And he was just tearing around the streets of Gloucester in this brand new BMW, new car smell. And I said to Alistair, like, what? We were in the back. Like, what is that smell? It wasn't the fresh car smell. And I look at Alistair, and he's just looking ahead like this. I'm like, what have you done? What have you done? Basically, Alistair, somewhere, had just trodden in the foulest of all things on his trainers, and somehow managed to get into the car by wiping whatever was on his shoe over the back of the driver's seat, over the door, over the felt white material onto his seat. It was like he just entered the car like this and smudged it around for good measure. And he was sat there with that smell. He didn't say anything. He left the car and never spoke to Richard's dad again. And that's why those 3 things were why Alistair proactively avoided Richard's dad. He hid from Richard's dad because of those 3 incidences. Thank you. We're going to call the band up now and just finish. Like, can you imagine? Just finish there. The reason I go into such sort of graphic detail, and I don't mean to be crude, it's just what happened. It's all of it's true. But some of us in this room, because of what you have done, because of what you've said, what you've thought, because of what's happened, you are in a spot right now where you are hiding from God. You are telling yourself that you are not good enough to be in his presence, that when you try to step into his presence, this thing, what has happened, the thing that is in the past, is drawn to mind, and it's the reason that you are keeping God at arm's bay. You're just at arm's length, sorry. And I know that, and I know that that's a reality for some people in this room, because that's true of me. I hide from God because of what I have done. And I think as blokes, there are so many things, so many reasons or excuses that we can draw to mind that would lead us to distance ourselves from God, to hide from him, to perhaps, like Adam and Eve did, attempt to not be found by him. And to name a few, for me personally, one is doubt. Sometimes I don't have every answer. Sometimes I can't. I don't understand everything that's in Scripture. Sometimes there's questions that are so big, and I get asked questions from my friends that don't have faith, and I can't reconcile them, and I can't answer them. And at times, I will use my doubt as an excuse to hide from God. God, I don't get this right now. I don't understand this right now. So for now, I'm going to distance myself from you. I'm not going to step in. I'm not going to fully enter into just spending time with you, to getting involved in worship, to really reading your word, because I don't get this. And doubt becomes something that I hide behind. Yeah. You know, like another thing, I think we blokes are very good at this, just familiarity. Like we can get used to this, and we can get used to like great worship leaders like Paul singing at us, and we can just be in these spaces, and we're very familiar. And I've been brought up, so I'm 29. I've been brought up in church, so I've been in so many meetings like this, great meetings, and it's so easy for me to become familiar with them, and I hide from God behind my familiarity. I get this. I know what's going to happen. Some of you will be able to plot out where I'm going with this message to some degree of accuracy. And we can hide behind our familiarity. Yeah, been here before. I know when he's going to call the pianist up. I know what we're going to do here. And it can be an excuse that we hide behind. Others, it's like it can be something that someone has said to you or done to you. Offense, anger, bitterness. These things can be reasons that we just distance ourselves from God. Hide from him. Hide from what he's called us to do. Hide from that thing that you know you should be obedient in, but we distance ourselves from it because of X, Y, Z. I have four nieces and nephews, and like they're awesome. Like I love them. And like it was a few months ago, I was playing proper hide and seek with them. I say that like they're exhausting, so I was like, okay, you go. I'll count to 1,000. and off they went, and I just went on Instagram. And so I'm sat just relaxing. It was in the summer, and they're off in a field hiding from me, thinking that I'm about to find them. And it was then that I heard the screams. And I thought, whoops, okay, ready or not, here I come. Because one of them was crying, and I wasn't being attentive, so I wasn't winning Uncle of the Year award anytime soon. And what had happened was, because there's four of them, one of them's 18 months old, and the others, I can't remember. they're older, yeah, than that. Older than 18 months. The three of them had made their way into a really big hedge. And they were strong enough and big enough to get out the other side of the hedge. So they had gone through, forced their way through this hedge. And it was probably about the size of this room. That's how big this hedge was. And they had made their way through. The 18-month-old, named Jude, wasn't big enough, wasn't strong enough to get through. And he had driven his way into the middle of this hedge. And he was frightened, and he was scared, and he was screaming. And his hair had got caught in some thorns right in the middle. Like, bless him. And he got himself so worked up. So I sort of army crawled my way in as far as I could go. And I called to him. I'm like, dude, just come this way, mate. Just turn around. But nothing was really working because he was so hysterical. And the more he kind of fought, it seemed like the more entangled that he got. What struck me, and I think of that picture, I think of that moment, it's interesting for you and I think the things which initially seem quite harmless, the things that are maybe just a game, that are indifferent, that aren't, that's not a bad thing. If I just do this, if I just prioritize this for this moment, that's not bad. It's so easy those things can so easily ensnare and entrap us, and we can get to a spot where we think, right, how am I here? How did I get stuck here? How did I get stuck in this way of thinking? How did I get stuck with this offense that I can't seem to shake, and no matter what I do, I can't forgive that person? Like, how did I get stuck with this addiction? Like, I never intended on watching that, thinking that way, doing that thing, but now here I am in the middle of a hedge, and these things can hide us from God. Adam and Eve, they hid from the Lord in the garden, and they can feel like God is just so far away. So we drive ourselves further into these things. And when we were at that SYC training day, I told a story of something that happened just that week, and I want to tell you guys about it, because it just docks in with what I want to encourage and challenge us on tonight. It happened this year with one of my young people. I should be able to tell the story without getting emotional. I got emotional at SYC, but I'll do my best. One of the young guys who was in my youth ministry had since grown up. An amazing young person, great sense of humor, great personality, very talented. He could just put his hand to anything and he would just be good at it. He was that kind of young person, you know. He had a tendency just to stray towards like danger and risk, and he would always push the envelope. He'd always do something that was just a little bit risky, and just like he would find where the line was and get as close to it as he could, basically that kind of limit. And we saw that a few times, and it was when that enthusiasm and energy was channeled into a positive area, it would reap positive results. But time and time again, we were seeing this progression in his life and this trend in his life where he would just cause himself or others harm. And he would kind of undulate between like being so close to God and intimate with God, and then get into spots where he was hiding from God. And he would drive himself, it seemed, almost to use that analogy, further and further into the hedge. And he was a bit older now, so he was out of our youth ministry. So he's now sort of 19, and he got in trouble with the police. Did something stupid, ended up doing time in prison. And he wrote to me from prison, just saying like how God was with him at the time. God was speaking to him, he felt, and he felt this like intimacy with God again in that really dark place. And he was like, I'm sorry for what I've done, and I wanna get back out. And at this time he had actually had a family, and he wants to get his son into church and all of that. And wrote back to him, like, mate, that's amazing. Like, can't wait to see you when you're out. It was a short sentence that he was serving. And we saw moments where he came out of hiding and sort of was back and was with intimacy with God and things. But time and time again, we saw him step back into his old way of living, back into his old habits, back into his old way of thinking. He became addicted to prescription drugs, and that meant that his mood would just swing like this, and he'd be himself one moment and then he was completely different the next, and he got lots of help, but time and time again just drove further and further into hiding, further and further away from God in different areas, and until one week I spoke to his support worker and gave reference for him to go into her rehabilitation center to help him. So this was a place where he would go full time. That was on the Monday. The Monday. And on the Tuesday, had the call to say that he had taken his own life. And like, I don't use that story lightly. I don't use it to try and like kind of galvanize emotion or to try and like, you know, for effect. I don't want to make it cheap or anything like that. But there was a case of a brilliant young man that just continually was unable to stop hiding. Just drove himself again and again and again, and it wasn't without opportunity, or there wasn't without moments where he was able to get out, but he drove himself further and further into hiding. And the result was the ending of his life. Now I have sat with that guy, and I've prayed with that guy, and I've seen God move in that guy's life, and I know that he like had moments where he encountered the presence of God and where he's filled with the Holy Spirit. So I believe as horrific and as appalling as our sin is, God's grace is like.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Come on, then. Yeah. Come on.
This happened at SYC as well. I have to stop talking and make jokes, otherwise I can't carry on. God's grace is amazing. And even in like that, even in the darkness of where he finishes life. Where's my... Thanks, mate. This will help. Yeah, God's grace is able to save. And that's what I believe for that young man. That sorry, gents, is this okay?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. Go for it.
Yeah, that I'll see him again and that we'll be amazed by that redemptive story. But what's true is that it's a tragic story in that his potential was snuffed out by this inability to break free from the hiding. And why I tell that and why I think that's relevant to this space is this. That story is not a unique one in this country, in the communities that we live in the schools that we attend, in the workplaces where we find ourselves. There are countless other young men like that that are in desperate need of forgiveness, of redemption, of hope, of healing, of salvation, of a loving hand, of a route out of hiding. And the reason that I share that is I think the men of the church, the men of the Church of Jesus Christ, so long as we are content to stay in hiding, we are giving others permission to do the same. And we are, and there is a generation of young people, there's a generation of men that exists, there are multiple generations that would look to you and I as what's described in the Bible as ministers of reconciliation. So we have been reconciled to God. We have been freed from our hiding. We have been freed from the chains that enslaved us. And then we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That means we can help others find the same hope that we have. If only we would stop hiding. If only we would not be content with our familiarity. If only we'd be not content to hide behind our questions of doubt or to hide behind apathy or boredom or indifference. If only, like, and I'm saying this, and forgive me if this is coming across strong, because I'm talking to myself, really. If only we'd give a rip sometimes, is what I talk to myself. If only I would care just a little bit more about young men like him. Like, God, could you do something more significant in my life to help others get free from that? To give a way where people could break free from that. And this church, Generation Church, this is called to be a beacon of hope and light in a very dark place. And we should never underestimate just the amount of need and hurt and that's on our doorstep. And far be it from us, right, to stay in hiding. Far be it from us to stay in comfort or in spaces where, well, I'm good. No. Like, time and time again, each and every day, Jesus, thank you that I am free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And God, you have given me the ministry of reconciliation that I might help others be reconciled to you too. I don't want to stay in the hedge. I don't want to stay in the hedge of my comfort or my familiarity or my doubts or my questions. God, help me to break free of that each and every day. Tracking back to the story of Jude, my 18-month-old nephew. He's not still there in the bush. We got him out. How he got out was his dad had to come along. I had to go and get his dad. I was like, he's not moving. I'm sorry, your son is stuck. You might not want to give him to me again. And what his dad did is quite remarkable. His dad army crawled all the way into the center of this thick hedge where his son was, and his dad got torn up in the process, just moving stuff. His clothes got snagged, but he was getting his son out. He wasn't gonna leave his son there. He was gonna get him out, and he sort of grabs his son, kicking and screaming, and he dragged him out. And at one moment he had to call to his son Jude just to turn. And it's this significance of it was the father's voice that set him free. It was the father that came and brought him out. And our Father God, like, does the very same for us each and every day. I believe that he just crawls through our mess, crawls through our stuff, crawls through the things that we set up against him time and time again, and just wants to break into it. Like that song that we sing, the reckless love of God, that chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99 behind to find me. It's the truth of what we believe. And I think if we are recipients of that, if we get that, if that's the truth for us, if we're not just content to, like, yeah, that's an idea. Like, no, God breaks through my stuff all of the time, each and every day. That changes me. And that, like, far be it from me just to wander back into my hedge, to wander back into hiding, to wander back into the things. Like, stop hiding from God because he is seeking after you. And I think, and I felt strongly about this, that for some of you young men, right on that row number two, I'm looking at you, that there are some, row number three as well, I'll include you in that, don't you? there are some life-transforming ideas that are inside your minds. There's potential, like, more than you can possibly realize. I say this to my young people all the time, that your life is too short, your calling is too great, and your God is too big for you to live a small life in hiding. Like, God has got some mad adventures for you to have. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10, Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. The enemy would have it that he would rob your calling, rob your purpose, and destroy your life. And I saw that so explicitly with that young man, with one of my young people. So I took personal offense to it. And that's why it's hard for me to tell that story. Like, there are some dreams and adventures to be had. There's potential, there's ideas, there's creativity, there's innovation that's in this room that is just waiting for you to step out and give it a go. To break free of the hiding, to get out of that bush. And we joke, but that's not an age-related thing. Like, if we have settled, thinking the days of God using me are yesteryear, they are behind me, then that is a lie. Because as long as there is breath in my lungs, as long as my heart's beating, God has a plan, God has a purpose, and God has potential for my life, and God wants to use me. Like, some of Jesus' most effective ministry was with the ones, and it was with the small groups. And, like, we all have access to one. We all have connection with one. Who is it we can help? Who is it we can minister to? Who is it we can bless? Who is it we can tell about Jesus? If only we would break free. If only we would break out of the things that keep us bound. Stop hiding from God because he's seeking after you. Can I pray for you? Absolutely. Is that okay? And then do you want to go into time of worship just to finish this, to land it? Yeah, amazing. Cool. Let's just pray. Do you want to bow your head and close your eyes and just have a moment now with Jesus? Like, my life was forever changed when I was 11 years old on a Sunday night meeting. I went into the meeting thinking nothing was going to happen, and I had an encounter with God, and he filled me with his Holy Spirit. And I look back at that moment, and we sang a song, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I awake, God, have your way in me. Like, that can happen for anyone that's in this room tonight. If you are familiar with God, if you know the church thing, like, all of us, each and every one of us can step out of hiding tonight. And there are so many lives in our communities, in our world, that need the hope that we have. So just take a sec. Let's take a sec together. Like, where is it we might be hiding?